Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together, to praise you, to worship you, to honor you. Lord, may we not take that for granted this morning. Instead, Lord, may we just put our focus on you. Lord, may we lay down any baggage, anything we're holding on to this week, and just put our eyes on you, remembering that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you made a way where there was no other way. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand. I want to introduce a new song to you guys this morning. This is the chorus.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, thank you.
good job. By the way, you guys sound wonderful. You know, even with the new song, I was really impressed with that. So this is my favorite time of the service, the My Three. You know, one of the things that we're called to do is we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to lift others up, to point them towards Christ, no matter what they're facing in life. And that's why we started this over a year ago, actually going on well over a year ago. Or My Three. For those who aren't aware, we've got these little cards available out there for you. And what you want to do is you want to write three people's names on here that don't know Jesus, that are walking around in life without knowing who God is. And I want you guys to take that and place it somewhere that you can see it each and every day as a reminder to pray for them. Not just here on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week, whether it's on the mirror, in your car, wherever it is, because we know that we are not powerful enough to change anyone's life, but Jesus is. And that's what we're here to do, is to lift them up for that. And we know there's been many that have come to Christ because of it. You know, today is March 16th. It's John 3:16 day. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that is a message of hope for everyone in the world to share. And one of the easiest ways that we can share the gospel is by sharing verses, our story, but also just simply by praying for people and connecting them with our Heavenly Father, because we know he does amazing things. So, with that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to think of your three people that don't know Jesus, and I want you to lift them up in by name. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we're just in awe of what you've done in our lives. The way that you've transformed so many people. The way that you've made us new again, even when we were nothing but filthy rags. Lord, I ask that you continue to do a new work in our friends, our families, our neighbors, our co-workers. That, Father, that you reach down and just soften their hearts. That they may come to know you as we've gotten to know you. That they may come into relationship with you. Lord, we lift them up by name inside of this moment. Because, Lord, we know we can't save anyone. But we know you can. Lord, we give it all to you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
Kingdoms will bow down. stop the Lord Almighty? Who can 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 stop the Lord?
I'll sing of all you've done, that you swallowed up forever. say thank you that you have led us through the deep. No matter what we're going through, Father, that you are fighting our battles. Whether we're on the mountains or in the valleys, you are there, Father. We say thank you that you have broken our chains and you have made us free people in you, Father. So, Father, we just say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy on us, Father. You are good.
Amen. Amen. All right. Oh, man, it's good to be here this morning. Good morning. We can do a little better than that. Good morning. There we go. I don't know about you guys, but I am trying to figure out what happened to the weather this week. That was some nice warm weather, and then I looked out this morning as I let Mater out, and there was snow on the ground. I'm trying to figure that part out. I want to welcome everybody here this morning, especially also want to welcome our guests that are here with us. We're so thankful for each of you. I also want to welcome those that are joining us online in the radio. We're glad that you're here. If you notice, for those that are normally here, you notice we only did two songs instead of three songs there for a minute, and that's because we had to do a little shifting this morning. Following the message, we are going to be celebrating that someone's life has been changed, and they're making a public proclamation by being baptized. So, following service today. So, that's going to be a great time, and I'm excited for it. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we ask just that you just pour out your Spirit. Father, that you may just open the hearts and the minds of each of us here, that we may hear what you have for us to hear, and that we may take it with us as we go. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, with this morning being March 16th, we thought it was appropriate to celebrate John 3:16. And before we get too far into all of that, I have a little video that I want you guys to watch. But I got to warn you, its cuteness factor is pretty high. So go for it.
God's so full of love. God's so love.
That he gave his one and only son.
That whoever believes
in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
John 3:16.
Is that not just the cutest thing? Got to give it up for Anne for getting all those videos and stuff so we can put that together. You know, John 3:16 is probably one of the most famous Bible verses in the world. It's often one of the first verses that new believers memorize. It's one of those verses that both Christians and even non-Christians alike often will at least recall. They'll have some kind of memory about it. And it's so simple. It's the gospel message wrapped up in one sentence. One sentence. And it presents the gospel. It's an easy way to share the love of God that people has for the people, that God has for the people around the world. You know, for an example, in 2009, during the college national championship game, Tim Tebow, who was the quarterback for Florida Gators at the time, wrote underneath his eyes John 3:16. That simple during the game. And you know what was really easy, interesting, is according to Google Analytics, which they track all the searches and how often something is searched and all of that, during the game, it showed 94 million people search for John 3:16. They wanted to know what it was. And they read it. You know, John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." It's powerful, yet such a simple verse. The entire gospel comes into focus within this passage. This idea that God loves us, this idea that God loves, love is not just for a certain group of people, who act a certain way or dress a certain way or look at a certain way. It's this idea that God's love is not just for a particular place in time in history, but that God's love is offered to the entire world throughout all of history. It's a reminder that God's love is not something that can be bought and paid for on our own. It's not something that can be earned by being good enough, but that God's love is a free gift from our Heavenly Father. And that God offers this gift out of love for each of us through his desire to restore us back to him. You know, normally, when we normally first hear the message about how God loves us and wants a relationship with us, there are several different reactions that we can have. You know, that first reaction that some people have is thankfulness. Thankful that we have a God that loves us and cares for us, so much so that he wants a relationship with us. There are others, though, that scoff at this idea. But yet there are others who will have a reaction of an overwhelming sense of guilt. They have this feeling of, I don't deserve this, that it sounds too good to be true. And they start questioning and struggling with the question of, how could God love me? Doesn't he know what I've done? Doesn't he know the life that I have lived? Doesn't he know the sins I have committed in my life? And they start listening to the voices of the world around them, telling them that they're not worth it, they're not good enough, they're not worthy. Maybe that's you here this morning. Maybe you don't, maybe you don't feel like you deserve God's love and everything that he has for you. And you find yourself questioning, how is that even possible that God would love a sinner such as me? But here's the thing. None of us deserve it. None of us are good enough on our own. There's not a single person in this room that deserves the grace and mercy that God has poured out. None of us deserve the gift that was given through Jesus and what he did on that cross. Yet God still gave it to each of us, and he paid a very high price for it. And he did it out of love that he has for both you and I and the rest of the world. This love that God has for us is something that we can find ourselves struggling to understand, and we can find ourselves wrestling with trying to understand it. But we have to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This love that he has for each of us is nothing new. And for us to even begin to understand on why God loves us in this way and so much, we have to go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the book of Genesis. You see, it tells us in Genesis that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It tells us that there was nothing and then there was something because God created it. And after God created the heavens and the earth, he started to create the rest of the world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and he created day and night. And as God continued, he created dry land and water. And after which he started creating the plants and the trees and everything we see in this beautiful world around us. And he began to fill this earth with all types of animals, sea creatures, and birds in the sky. And God said it was good. And after God had created everything within the earth, everything that we can see around us, God did something very special. He did something different. He created mankind. But when God created mankind, he created us completely different than the rest of creation. He made us unique, and he made us special. You know, in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27, it actually tells us, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. I want you guys to really hear me on this. God thought so highly of you that he created you in his own image. Out of all of creation, out of everything he made, he chose to make mankind in his own image. He didn't create the fish, he didn't create the animals or the plants and all of that other stuff in his image. No, he created us in his image. And he placed us in the garden with everything we needed. It tells us in the scripture that there were trees and there was vegetation for us to eat. There was beauty that would absolutely amaze us there. He created it so he had a place to fellowship with mankind, a place to be with us. It was a place that God would walk with us and talk with us, and he would commune with us. See, God had a desire since the beginning of creation to be in relationship with each one of us. From the very beginning, God wanted that relationship with us. And that desire for God to be in relationship with us has still not changed to this very day. Nothing is different on that. So why does God love us? Because he created us unique to be in relationship with him. And he created us in his image. He calls us his own. He calls us his children. And he pursues that relationship each and every day with each of us. Because let me tell you, you were no mistake. You were not an afterthought of God. No matter what the world says about you, God loves you, and he wants that relationship with you still to this very day. You know, the scriptures tell us that we were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. That God knew you before you were inside your mother's womb. And it tells us that God has a plan for each of our lives, just as God had a plan for Adam and Eve inside of the garden. Yet so often, we choose to run from that plan that God has for us. We are no different than Adam and Eve when it comes to the struggle with sin, that we desire so often to be our own God, to set our own rules, to set our own way of doing life. You see, while Adam and Eve were in the garden, the serpent came up and he deceived them. And Adam and Eve, while they were there, the serpent came up to them and told them, "Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," the very tree that God told them not to eat. And God actually said that if you eat from this tree, you will die. And when Eve told the serpent this, the serpent said in Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5, "No, you will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You see, God had placed this restriction around mankind for their own protection. Just as God often asks us to say no to things of this world for our own protection. He doesn't ask us to say no because he wants to take the fun away from life. He doesn't want us to have any joy. That's far from it. He doesn't ask us to say no because he wants us to be boring. No, God asks us to say no to things of this world because he understands the consequences of our choices. But so often, the things in this world look very appealing to our eyes, don't they? They look delightful. And we don't understand the fullness of the consequences of the choice that we make. We don't understand how those choices will affect ourselves and those around us. The reason that God asks us to say no to sin is often for our own protection, to guard our hearts and our minds. Just like Adam and Eve inside of this moment, they didn't understand the consequences of their choices. We often don't either. So it tells us in verse 6, "The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, so she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave it to some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Eve gets a bad rap on that, okay? Let's be honest. Adam was right there through the whole process. He was very aware of what was going on. You see, they had this desire to become like God. Just as the serpent said they would. They wanted to be able to do things their own way. They wanted that, and it looked good to them. They didn't understand what would happen when they took that bite. Like, not God's not, we're not going to die, really, are we? You know, they made excuses for what they were about to do. They knew what they were doing was going against what God asked of them. They understood that they were rebelling against God. But it was because of this rebellion against God that sin entered the world. But they didn't understand that sin would cause this division between them and God. And it's the same for us today. When we live a life away from God and we live a life that's not how he has called us to, we create this division between us and God. And it happens all the time. You know, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of that sin. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do I need to say that again? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It may not come to much as a surprise to most of you around here this morning, but none of us are perfect. May shock a few of you, but, you know, there may be a perceived perfection by the world around us at times about certain people, right? Sometimes we have a hard time imagining our little old granny having any sin in her life, or even grandpa at times. But the truth is, we all have it. Even when there's a nicety, a smile put on the face, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what's going on behind there, because none of us are perfect. We all sin. You know, even when I look at myself, I know I'm far from perfect. I have my own struggles. I have my own failures in life. I have areas in my life that I have to constantly give over to God and ask for help inside of those struggles, in those moments. You know, when I look back on my pre-Jesus days, I can see the failures and the sin that came about inside of those moments. I have not always been a Christian. I've not always walked it out as God has called us to. I lived a life that was far from anything but godly. And most days, God was nothing more than an afterthought throughout my life. Instead, what did I do? I chased the things of this world that I thought would bring me joy. Things that I thought would bring me satisfaction. I allowed myself to indulge in whatever pleasures that life presented me in those moments. I chased financial gain. I put myself before others. And now, don't get me wrong, by the world's standards, I was a good guy. Just someone who liked to cut loose occasionally and have a little fun. I mean, I wasn't as bad as some people, all right? You know, I wasn't as bad as some. I mean, I wasn't the drug addict strung out on the corner, right? I wasn't the alcoholic who could no longer keep a job over and over again. I wasn't the guy at home beating his wife or girlfriend. I was all right, right? These are all the excuses I would tell myself. These are all excuses that we often tell ourselves. We're not as bad as the next one. And I'm sure some of you can relate in that. You know, as humans, we often like to compare ourselves to the people around us. And we like to think that we're not as bad as the next guy. It's not a big deal. Yet we forget that all sin is like filthy rags to God. God doesn't distinguish between greater or lesser sin, as we often do as humans. All of it is like filthy rags to him, detestable in his sight. And sin continues to create this division between us and him. And every time that we sin, every time we say that lie, every time that we do any of those things, we lust after something, it confirms our status as a sinner. Someone that's fallen short of the perfect standard that God has outlined for us. And the reason that God outlined that perfect standard for us was not because he thinks that we can somehow achieve it. The reason that God outlined that perfect standard throughout the Old Testament is to show us that we needed a Savior. That we have an inability on our own works to achieve it. And that we needed a Savior. Because you see, the penalty and the punishment for sin is death, just as God outlined with Adam and Eve that it would happen if they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Romans 6:23 actually confirms this. It says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the result of sin is not just physical death. We know each of us will eventually face physical death, right? Both believers and non-believers alike will face physical death. Whether you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and take that free gift that John 3:16 talks about, or whether you reject it, we're all going to see physical death. But the death that's being talked about here in Romans 6 is talking about eternal separation from God. He's talking about hell. Now, I'm not here this morning to give you fire and brimstone and try to scare you into Jesus, okay? That's not what I'm trying to do. But hell is a reality that we do have to face. And I know the world often likes to think of hell as this place that's nothing but fire and brimstone and the little red guy running around with the pigtail and the tail behind him. You know, that's how the world often likes to look at it. But the reality is, hell is eternal separation from God. And what is God? He is the source of all goodness, joy, and mercy in our lives. And we are eternally separated from him in that moment. I know, like, people often like to say, well, God's going to send you to hell. That's not the reality. The reality is, in the scripture, it makes it clear that all of us are on the way there, and God is trying to rescue us from the path that we're on. And he's working overtime. You see, the gospel message is not a message of condemnation. The gospel message is a rescue story. It's Jesus coming down to rescue us from our own choices. It's God trying to rescue us from our own destruction. The story of the Bible, the story of Jesus and the gospel is a rescue story for each one of us out of the love that God has for us. His creation that he made in his own image. It isn't a story that God hates us, it's a story that God loves us. And God's not trying to send people to hell, he's trying to rescue us from our own destruction. That's why the scripture says in Romans 5:8, it says, but God proves his own love for us that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God didn't wait for us to get our acts together before he sent Jesus. Did you catch that? He didn't wait for us to get our acts together before he sent Jesus. I think many people in our world today, we think for us to be able to have a chance to have a relationship with God, we have to get our act together before we go to him. We got to do all the right things before we can go to Jesus. We got to clean up the mess in our lives before we can go to him. And let's be honest, many of us have messes in our lives that we're struggling with today. We all have sin that we haven't dealt with yet within our lives. Too often we believe the lies of the devil that there's no way that God will forgive us in what we've done. We believe the lies of the devil that we have to first clean up our act before we can come to Jesus. And we become too scared. We become scared that God will reject us. We're scared that we're too far gone and we won't have a chance with Jesus. That we've dug a pit in our lives so deep and so messy that there's nothing else that can be done to get us out of it. That if God knew how big of a sinner we were, then there's no way that he could love us. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that's a lie. That there's nothing you have done that can separate you from the love of God. Because even whilst you were still sinners, while we were still in the pits of our lives, God sent his one and only son to die on the cross for you and I to make a way. And God didn't do this. Let me hear me very carefully on this. God did not do this to make us lovable. Okay? God did not send his son so that we could be made lovable. He did this because he already loved us. He wanted that relationship with us. He wanted us restored back to how he created us, to be his children made in his image. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. It's all done out of love. You know, it tells us over in Ephesians 2:8-9. It tells us, for you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's God's gift. You know, we are saved by grace and grace alone. And this grace that's poured out through our faith in Jesus. It's trusting and believing that he did what he did for us on the cross. Was enough. It's a gift that's available to all the people of the world. It's available to the rich. It's available to the poor. It's available to the sinner, and it's available to the saints. You see, it doesn't matter how far we have come from God or how far from God we have walked in our lives. It doesn't matter where you are at this morning. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made or how deep that hole is you've dug in your life. This is a free gift that is offered by our Heavenly Father out of love for you and I. You see, it's not something that we can earn. It's not something that we can be good enough. If it was something that we could earn on our own merits, there would have been absolutely no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. You know, when Jesus was praying in the garden before he went to the cross, he said, Lord, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But if not, I will go. I want you to think about that for a minute. If we could simply be good enough, there would have been no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. You don't need to get your act together before you go to Jesus. You don't need to have your life in order and pull yourself out of the pit. You don't need to do any of that. You simply need to accept that free gift of salvation offered through Christ our Lord. It's that simple. You know, Romans tells us in 10, Romans 10, 9 through 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. It's literally that simple. We are called to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins. And it's through our faith in Christ that we're restored and saved. And once we have that faith in Christ, God starts to do a new work inside of our hearts, resulting in righteousness, resulting in salvation, where we get to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father once again, as God has designed us from the beginning for. I want to encourage you this morning. If that's you here this morning and you've never understood the love that God has, don't leave here today without accepting it. God is not worried about where you're at in life. He's not worried about the mistakes you've made. He's not worried about how big of a mess you found yourself in. I want you to know that God loves you, he cherishes you, and you were no mistake, and he wants that relationship with you right here, right now. That's what John 3:16 stands for. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on God's love, mercy, and grace that's been poured out. And that was an expensive cost. That cost him his son being poured out on the cross. And it's up to us to just accept it and allow him to start making us new again. So at this time, I want to invite the worship team forward as we prepare to close out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the example that you gave us in your son, for that example that you gave us and for that penalty you paid for us. Father, you know everyone that is here this morning. You know the struggles that we all face. Father, you know where we're at in life and the difficulties and, Father, the unworthiness we often feel. But, Father, you said that we are lovable, that you love us, that you cherish us, that you want a relationship with us no matter what we've done in the past. And you've made a way to restore us back to you. Father, we thank you. And if you find yourself here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're ready to make that decision, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. And just follow me in a simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Father, I know I can't do this on my own, but I know your son has already made a way. Father, I accept that free gift this morning, the one that was paid for so dearly. Wash me clean.
Let's stand and worship.
Who you are. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Share it with the world around you, knowing that it's Christ that's restored us back to our Heavenly Father, as He's always desired. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.